I know there's a restraining order against me, but I drove past her house and saw Cedric's car, and I had a kick in her front door.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I am Chip Hazard.
I am Talon Williams.
And I'm Roger Sierra.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We are... what was that, Roger?
My nose itches.
Oh, okay. I thought you said something like... like you're trying to say something under your breath or something. But no, but again, thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We had a pretty awesome weekend this past weekend, ATL Comic-Con in Atlanta, Georgia. It was really, really fun. Had a great time. But before we get into that, how was everybody's week this week? Roger, we'll kick it off with you, Bubba. How was your week this week?
I mean, it was all right. I didn't do shit but work and watch anime. Like, I really didn't do much of anything. This was a slow week for me.
Right. And, of course, Chip, go ahead.
The week itself was pretty good. I was just really focused on everything going on this weekend. So, right. You know, I watched some anime, caught up, binge watched Echo on Disney Plus. If you guys haven't seen that yet, it's pretty good.
Okay.
Started rewatching Daredevil, in anticipation for the new series, Daredevil Born Again. As most people know, you know, Daredevil is my favorite Marvel character. So I follow his stories quite closely.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And then watched, you know, a good bit of anime on top of that.
Yeah. I caught up on Delicious in Dungeon today. And very, very interesting episode. The episode focused a little bit more on Chilchuck than it has in previous episodes. I thought it was a really good dynamic. But yeah, I mean, other than just anticipating the upcoming week at ATL Comic-Con, really not really a whole lot to speak of, other than, you know, the wife was a little bit under the weather, so I had to make sure I took care of her. And, you know, my daughter was being a hellion, which is typical for a 3-year-old little girl, you know, Roger, you know, But let's jump right into it, man. ATL Comic-Con this past weekend, I thought it was a really good turnout. I don't know what the head count was, but there was a whole lot of people there over the course of the trip. If you had to take a guess, what do you think the head count was overall? If you had to just take a wild stab in the dark.
A wild stab in the dark?
40,000.
Not if it was that much, but it was a lot.
I mean, over the course of...
Yeah, over the course of 3 days.
Over the course of 3 days? I could say 20 or 30. Well, 20. No, it more than 20, because when the first year we did Huntsville Comic-Con or Huntsville Comic and Pop Culture Expo, they did 20,000.
Yeah.
In 2 days. In ATL Comic Convention, it was a bigger area, more people. I would guess to say, and they haven't even put out an actual number yet. I would say 40,000.
I say I was thinking around 35 to 40. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Over the 3 days, because Friday night it started at noon on Friday and ran till 7 o'clock that night.
Yeah.
And it was the most packed I personally have seen a Friday convention.
Yeah.
In the 15 or 16 conventions I've gone to over the last year.
Right. We got there. Now, we did get there a little bit late, and that wasn't on our end or anything. Unfortunately, there was a wreck at the 75-285 split, so we had to navigate around that whole situation, and we ended up getting there closer to about 1:30. And then they told us where to park. We ended up parking in the yellow parking lot, because there's like a bunch of color coordinated parking lots around the Mercedes-Benz Dome, State Farm Arena, and the actual World Congress Center where the convention was being held. And there was like, okay, there's a yellow parking lot, there's a blue one, there's a red one, there's a black one, there's a diamond, there's a ruby, all these different. I'm like, okay, so where do we go? We just parked at the yellow because we were under the assumption that it was going to be like right there, right? We get out the car, we got all the stuff, we're carrying it in there. Correct me if I'm wrong, Chip. We ended up walking damn near a mile just to get to where the registration table was.
So from our car to registration, we walked 15 minutes.
Yeah. It was pretty long. But as soon as we got in there, you know, everything, you know, was, well, you go ahead and tell the story, Chip. When we got the registration, they were like, hey, we're here to get the press pass. Go ahead.
Yeah. So they, ATL Comic Convention, they were the people that were running it. Like everything was pristine,
dude.
They, you know, very good email coordination. You know, they sent us an email with a QR code for the media passes. You just had to show that at registration. They give you your media pass as you go in. What they didn't tell us is that the media pass registration was in a completely different area than the regular registration. So because they only gave out a select number of media passes. Mm-hmm. So they had a specific table where there was a lady sitting, and you just walked up, told her who you were and who you were with, and they already had them already prepackaged out. You got your press badge, and you had to have a wristband as well. So if you lost your press pass, you could still get in.
Yeah.
Or whatnot. Yeah. So we got up there and up to the regular registration, and they scanned our QR codes, and the lady was like, we don't have press passes. And she started yelling for somebody else.
Yeah.
So he comes running over there, and she was like, hey, I need, you know, press passes. And he was like, we don't have press passes. And I was like, I've got the email. And he was like, oh, okay, you need to go. I guess they thought we were just like trying to get press passes.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, you need to go back out of registration, go down the ramp, and there's a table there on the right before you get to the escalator that leads down to the vendor hall. So we went over there. Lady there was real nice, hooked us up, you know, told us to have a great time. That was weird.
It's raining super hard here.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's probably thunder because it's raining over here too.
No, this is like hard winds and just rain.
Yeah, so
well, I can hear, you know, it. Yeah,
we go down, and like you guys will see when the videos release, but like how massive this hall is. So yeah. You have to go down. You go down one escalator, and on that on that floor is where all of the panel rooms and stuff were. Then you go down another escalator into the vendor hall, which is also where the celebrities were. Mm-hmm. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it was massive.
Yeah.
It was every bit, I would say, from one end to the other end, the size of a football field.
I would even go as far as to say the actual vendor hall itself, and I might be exaggerating when I say this, the actual vendor hall itself, it looked like it was bigger than the entire Chattanooga Convention Center. It was that massive. Like, it was huge. You could probably fit the Chattanooga Convention Center inside this one, you know?
Yeah.
And again, that might be an exaggeration, but that's what it felt like to me. I was walking, like, me and Chip walked in. We already had all the cameras and all the equipment set up. I already got the camera ready to take pictures. I look at Chip, and I'm like, you go that way, I go this way, we meet up in 10 minutes. He goes, okay. I literally walk all the way down to the end. I turn back around, and I don't see him anywhere because he's all the way down the very end too. And then we said we were going to meet back up in 10 minutes. It ended up being like 45 minutes. It was just sweet because we couldn't find each other. We was like, Marco, Polo, you know, it was one of them situations. But yeah, man, the first day was great. You know, we got to met a lot of cool, interesting people there. I don't like the fact that everything in Atlanta is even more expensive than it is up here. And I know every place is expensive and I understand that, but damn, $4.50 for soda. Like, okay, I get it. You're trying to make your money. I understand that, but damn, $4.50 for soda. But anyway,
I'm going to have to tell you to invest in a Camelback so you can carry a gallon of water with you all day, every day.
That's a good investment. Yes. I'll try that.
So, excuse me. Day one, we shot a lot of B-roll, met up with some some people that we hadn't seen. Deegan Puckers was there, super cool artist. He was actually working on a variant cover. I can't say what the cover is for, but he was working on a variant cover while also selling pictures and doing other custom drawings over the weekend. Like, yeah. Dude was, he was just like busy. You know, we hooked up with Spencer Wilding, got another interview, kind of a follow-up to what we did a year ago. And, you know, he was telling us about some projects that he's got coming out pretty soon. Got to meet Gigi Edgley from Farscape. She was also the host of Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge. If you haven't seen Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge, I implore you to check that out.
Which is funny that you guys got to meet her there, because we didn't get a chance to meet her at MetrophimCon last year.
Right.
All. Yeah. Like, every time we'd go near her, she'd be leaving to go eat or something, or just have a line. So it's impossible to even get to her.
I think because there was a whole lot more going on around them. Maybe there was less people there to see her or things of that nature, or maybe they were there to see and they kind of already did. But yeah, I mean, she was really cool. Spencer made the introduction and Chip was able to get an interview with her, which was really awesome. We are eternally grateful for that.
Go ahead, Chip. And I will say, over the course of the entire weekend, Robert Englund had the most packed line consecutively, 3 days straight. There was 100 people minimum in his line every time.
You could not get close to him, dude. You could not get close to him.
Yeah, so unfortunately, we weren't able to get an interview with Robert Englund. And there were several guests that just weren't doing press during the weekend. Norman Reedus, he wasn't doing press at all. He actually wasn't even taking selfies. His line was pretty long as well.
He wasn't even taking selfies?
No, he was only doing autographs. So he did have a couple of photo ops where, you know, he would go to a designated area for photo ops. But if you went to his line for his table, he was only doing autos. And there were several other people. Alec Baldwin was only doing autos. Ron Perlman was only doing autos. So there were several people that were only doing autographs. And then several of the voice actors that were there weren't allowed to do press because they had
NDAs and stuff.
They have NDAs with projects coming out that they could not talk about. And, you know, so we understood that.
Yeah.
But we were fortunate enough. You guys will see them later this week, early next week. But we were able to get the interview with Spencer Wilding, the interview with Gigi Edgley. Garrett Dillahunt, who's the grandfather in Raising Hope, Tom Payne, who played Jesus in The Walking Dead, and he was also in what was that other show you were telling me about?
Prodigal Son.
He's the main character of Prodigal Son, and he'll be in the new Imaginary movie. And then we got an interview with DMC, Daryl McDaniel from Run DMC. I posted a picture on our Facebook and Instagram. He's a national treasure. Stood and talked to us for a long time. Blessed us with an interview and hopefully, if everything works out, we will see him later this year at FarleyCon.
Yes, absolutely.
I didn't even know he was going to be there. When you guys sent me that picture, that's why, when you sent me that, I was like, did you know what to do from Walking Dead? Because, I looked at it real quick. I was like, I've been cool.
No, but what ended up happening, see, I didn't realize it because when we were going through, day one, we were going through doing B-roll and stuff, and I look and it says DMC Daryl McDaniel. Oh, he's going to be here tomorrow and Sunday. If we see him, we see him. Because I was under the impression that he would be, because I remember him being announced, but I thought he would be on Celeb Row with a lot of other people. Then it was oh wait, no, he's selling his comics and he's got his people with him and he's selling his comics. He has a children's book. He has a memoir. All of it's going to be on the interview video. And I just wanted to go up there and just talk to him for just for a minute, man, because this is hip hop royalty. You know what I mean? So I just walked up, dapped him up, and I said, "Hey man, I just went over here and meet, you know, one of the pioneers, man." And he was like, "Hey man, you know, we were talking, chatting it up for a second." And then he sees me with the camera, and then he sees me because I had the actual tripod with the camera on it. And the only thing that was missing was the microphone. His Chip had the microphone because he was off talking to another content creator about some things that could possibly happen in the near future. More on that later. However, we were sitting, he was like, "Oh, you got a camera? Hey, you want to do a quick interview? I'm free." I said, "Chip, Mike." Chip went and just handed me the mic. And he was like, "All right, let's do this." And next thing, we did the interview. The interview lasted roughly around maybe, I don't know, 7-8 minutes, maybe. But then after that interview, we just talked for another like 15 minutes. And there was actually people like, and I felt kind of bad because I was like, man, all these people are waiting to see him and we're kind of like hogging up the time, you know what I mean? But at the same time, he's talking. I'm not going to tell him, "Hey, we got to go." You know what I mean? Like he's talking to us, you know? And I just thought it was awesome that, you know, you meet a pioneer in hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like him and Run were like, and it actually tells the story about why he was not on the show Run's House for the first three seasons, and it's because he was going through something. And then once you hear the interview, you'll understand. But yeah, it was a great interview. I was very happy with it. If you guys check it out, it's a great interview. And then that Saturday,
Sunday.
I was thinking something else that happened on Saturday, but go ahead, Chip. Go ahead.
Finish your Saturday before we move on to Sunday.
I lost it. I'll remember it in a second. Go with Sundays. No, you kind of threw me for a loop. Go ahead.
Perfect. So on Sunday we did a lot of man on the street interviews. It asked a ton of anime questions. Some real hot takes when it comes to like, you know, we went around and asked everybody what their most overrated anime was. Some pretty hot takes there.
Oh my god, yes.
I know.
Hot take, they don't tell the truth and say Jujutsu Kaisen.
Well, one person that we know of said Jujutsu Kaisen.
There was a couple of people that said Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah. The top three answers we had were Jujutsu Kaisen, My Hero Academia, and
One Piece.
Those are the three that the most of what people have said. Look at Roger. His Agent Orange is getting jacked up right now. Like
the heat on My Hero makes no sense at all.
Well, see, that was what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, what is it? Now I have to do some research. What is it about My Hero Academia which makes people think that it's overrated?
Everybody gets upset because season 4 slowed down and did world building and character development.
But isn't that what you want as an anime fan? You want that
character development? No, you don't want to. You want to just have nothing but action with no story at all. That's why people love Dragon Ball still.
That's great, because I mean,
I still love Dragon Ball, but I mean, you very well know that I delve deeper into other like world building, very immersive anime as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even if the anime is complex, I mean, eventually it'll come to it'll come to a head eventually, and then you can figure out like, oh, you can start putting pieces together eventually, you know. You know, that was like, I had to with the animes that we've been watching recently, like I had to go back and I had to rewatch Metallic Rouge, like the first two episodes over again, just so that I can have kind of an idea. Okay, what am I expecting on episode 3 and 4? You know, because sometimes it's hard to get to because it's a different type of anime that I'm used to that I'm used to watching, you know, like Solo Leveling. Like I can understand that. D&D, I can understand that. Metallic Rouge is a little bit different because it's more complex. It's more of a complex story than these other ones are. Does that make sense?
It's a straight story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's nothing to go off of it because it is an original concept.
Yes. Yeah. Also, I want to say that I am very disappointed in all of the anime fans at ATL Comic Convention because none of them have watched Solo Leveling at all.
No.
There's no way.
None of them.
No. Well, the ones we've talked to.
Well, I was to say, I will say, none of the people that we talked to mm-hmm. had seen Solo Leveling.
Yeah. Yeah, that was upsetting to hear.
Very disappointed in that.
Yeah. But also on top of also doing Man on the Street interviews, we also did a couple of interviews with a lot of the vendors that were there also. Bearded Artist was one that we did. My dumbass decided it'd be a cool idea to do a damn interview with a snake wrapped around me, which was a cool concept at the beginning until the thing stuck his damn, you'll see it.
It stuck his finger in your ass?
No, it stuck its tongue in my ear.
stuck its tongue in his ear.
Dude, you'll see it. I'm sure Chip's going to chop it up and make it into a short, I'm sure. But that was a pretty interesting thing. But what was interesting, I looked at her, I'm like, this thing don't bite, do it. And then she does, I bite you harder than that snake will. I'm like,
No. Her exact words, she looked dead at him right in the eyes and said, I'll bite you before that snake will. I was like, hold on.
And the only thing going through my mind is, I hope Amy don't see this.
Oh, that's going to be the beginning of the video.
Oh, that's going to be the beginning of it? No, this got to be its own thing. Anyway, no, but we did have one Man on the Street interview where we interviewed like 7 people at a time because they were all in a group together. And that whole thing lasted. No, they weren't furries, although they were there. But no, it lasted about, the whole interview segment lasted about 8 minutes. I'm thinking that could be its own thing unto itself, you know, because it was that long of a video. I figured that would be cool. We got to do the interview. Then we had a hilarious interaction with our good friend Michael Rooker of Guardians of the Galaxy. And bro, that was a very awkward yet awesome interview. I will say that. You'll see.
No, it was not awesome. It was not awkward. It was good.
It was good.
Did you guys get us to hook up with James Gunn to be a background character in every movie from now on?
I'm afraid we did not be able to. We weren't able to do that for you. I'm so sorry. We tried, but no.
Chip, you could have been in the next Batman.
Michael Rooker said it was good.
It was good. In fact, he's got a movie coming out called Gooder Than Good, and they're filming it in Arkansas. But it was cool. Yeah.
I will explain the entire interaction to you later. I don't want to give it away on this episode of the podcast. I want the people to go and watch that video.
Yes.
Because it was, I kid you not, it was good.
Yeah, it was good. And all the embarrassment falls back on me, which is fine. It's okay. But after we did do the interview, Michael Rooker did give me some love, and he was like, "Hey man, just want to let you know you're a good sport." I'm like, "Well, thank you. I appreciate that." So
did you tell him that it's your job to be perfectly shit on by everybody?
I mean, that's not what I signed up for, but fuck it. I guess it happens.
Bro, we're being social media guys. We're going to get shit on by everybody once we actually break through. So does it matter?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing that I learned. It's not about, it's not what they call you. It's what you answer to. So
they don't ask how many, they ask by how much. No, they don't ask how many, they ask by how much.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I told Chip this past week, we was driving back Saturday, to our good buddy Aaron from Anime Enthusiast United. Thank you so much for putting us up for the night. I told him, I was like, you know, if you can't buy tickets for our struggle, you can't be backstage at our success. So, you know, I can't remember who I heard say that, but
it don't matter. It's our slogan now.
It's our slogan now. Yep.
It doesn't matter who said it.
If you can't buy tickets for our struggle, you can't be backstage at our success. And then there was another one that I seen that it was like, hey, man, don't forget about me when you make it. Bro, don't forget to support me before I make it. You know? So,
I mean, that's okay. But, I mean, once we make it and you start giving us free drugs, then that's a different story.
So
I'm straight edge. I don't know what y'all talking about.
straight like a U-turn.
Bro, I ain't trying to call you on the carpet or nothing. But you being straight edge is the same as me saying I'm a virgin with 2 kids.
It's possible.
But yeah, so had an absolute blast throughout the weekend. Watch the new episode of Solo Leveling, the new episode of Delicious in Dungeon, and the new episode of Unwanted Undead Adventure over the weekend. And then from there, you know, came home on Sunday, cooked some some wings, some wings, onion rings, mashed baked potatoes. I'll explain that and watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, speaking of the Super Bowl, let's go ahead and let's transition into that game. A game that went into overtime, man, and then I hate that I called it correctly, but it is what it is. Kansas City Chiefs win in overtime. If I'm not mistaken, it's the second overtime game since the Falcons choke job. But yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs win 25-22. Overall, what did you guys think of the Super Bowl?
The script stayed intact.
But did it, though? Because the script originally called for the Ravens and the 49ers.
No, the script called for Kansas City and it called for Taylor Swift to win the Super Bowl.
But if Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce never hooked up, would it have changed?
No, because it was set up to begin with.
I don't know about
that. It's a publicity relationship.
So I seen this thing earlier before I talk about the actual game. I seen this thing earlier, and if you look at the paperwork and everything, the NFL is actually listed as an entertainment business, yeah, not a sports business, which allows them to not really rig games, but it allows them to put certain referees in certain games and make certain changes that are allowed. I'm not saying that's what happened, but there are other quote unquote sports businesses a la WWE, AEW, TNA Wrestling, MLW that are listed as entertainment businesses. And I do find it funny, like, when you look at the paperwork and how like the NBA and MLB are labeled and listed, they are listed as sports businesses, but the NFL, one of the most prominent sports leagues in the world, is listed as an entertainment business. That's just food for thought. But about the game itself, I feel like there was a lot of missed calls that went Kansas City's way. There was a very weird and awkward situation. Minute 30 left on the clock, and this is in overtime, where... I believe it was in overtime. It may have been to tie the game up. No, it was in overtime, because Patrick Mahomes hits Kelce for a dime for 11 yards. They hurry up to the ball. Boom. Mahomes is being chased. He runs 2 yards past the line of scrimmage. And if you look at the video, go back and watch it. I've seen it several times today already. It says second down because he only got 2 yards. It should have been second and like 7, second and 8, somewhere right in there.
Right.
And in the corner, it says second down. They flashed the Super Bowl logo. And when the Super Bowl logo disappears, it was first down. No play had been had or anything, but it essentially gave Kansas City Chiefs, they never went back and changed it to second down. It gave Kansas City Chiefs an extra down, so they got 5 downs on that drive instead of 4.
Right. There was also a missed forward lateral call.
It was a fumble. What are you talking about?
It wasn't a fumble. It was a forward lateral. When Isaiah Pacheco went down, you literally see Watson him do this and throw it forward to Watson. And then Watson just grabbed it and just fell down with it. I guess I don't know what it was, but dude, it clearly was a forward fucking pass. There was no, excuse my language. It was clearly a forward pass because his knees weren't down, not down by contact in any way. They were pulling him down. And as he was going down, he threw the ball and he was, and Watson was a good 2 yards in front of him, dude. And that was a missed call. definitely a lot of missed calls in this game that could have been picked up. And the fact that the 49ers had five or six false starts after the they didn't have any in the first, but he had like there was four that I know of in the third quarter alone, false starts from the 49ers.
So
three of them were on shoot. Help me out, the all-pro tackle. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Trent Williams. He had three on Trent Williams alone in this game.
So the one egregious false start penalty that it was weird because you had Tony Romo saying he was talking about the Chiefs, and one of their guys like lunged forward, which made the 49ers guy move. Like he didn't take a step or anything, but you seen him like jolt or whatnot. And they blew the whistle and threw a flag and said it was a false start on the 49ers. Well, what about the Chiefs guy who like took a whole step forward, and he wasn't one of the safeties of the cornerbacks that are allowed to like come up to the line.
Doesn't matter.
But then Tony Romo, who I like Tony Romo, I think he's a really good analyst, but he was like, it's just a smart move by the 49ers to get him to jump and all that. I'm like, no, like he encroached. Like that should have been a flag on the Chiefs, not the 49ers. Yeah.
If I'm being honest, there were a couple of calls that the Chiefs did get that I'm actually shocked that they got. And what I mean is, like, I remember, like, the horse collar on Brock Purdy when Brock Purdy was making that run, that little 10-yard run.
I was worried about his leg.
Yeah, me too.
I was worried about Christian McCaffrey's leg.
Yeah, me.
When they rolled up on him?
Yeah, that. Oh, what was his name? Greenway? Greenshaw?
Greenlaw that randomly tore his Achilles?
He just randomly he didn't tear his Achilles.
He did.
Oh, he did. So they officially said it was...
Yeah, during the Super Bowl. They said he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, man, during a sucks. Substitution.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks for him, man.
And then you could tell his present was missed.
Yeah, definitely. And then there was one sack that they did on Mahomes where I can't remember who it was. I don't know if it was Fred Warner or one of the others. They literally fell on top of Patrick Mahomes. And I said it in the chat. I was like, I'm actually shocked they didn't call roughing the passer on that play. Because how they like to protect the quarterbacks and shit.
It was Fred Warner because Boza did a move where he went like he was going to go around the back of the defender and then stopped and came back around the front, which caused Mahomes to try to reset the pocket. But by that time, Fred Warner had got around the other side and he just like jumps on his back and like takes him down. But it wasn't egregious. Like, if they would have called a roughing the passer on that, I'd have turned the damn game off. Because, like, when he went down, he landed on hands and knees and popped right back up. Like, he didn't lay on him or anything.
Yeah, yeah. That was that was my only concern. I was like, yeah, they're fixing to call it. When it went into overtime, my only thing at this point is like, okay, it's overtime. At least the 49ers played them to this point. Do you think it was a mistake? Because the 49ers won the coin toss in halftime. Do you think it was a mistake for them to get the ball first?
So the rumor is that some of the 49ers didn't know, and the ones that didn't know were the ones that had the coin toss, that the overtime rule is you can keep going. They thought it was the old rule. It said new rule. But I'm like, first of all, y'all know at the beginning of the season that the overtime rules changed, or the playoff overtime rules changed. I knew that
everybody
changed
because
I was happy that it finally went to the college style of football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's a weak excuse. My thing is, why would you take the ball first regardless in overtime?
If it was the older rules, then I would understand you taking the ball first because you can get the ball in field goal range, kick a field goal, game's over. I get that. But with these new rules, the new ones where both teams get a possession – but see, they even changed that up because then it's like, okay, if you kick a field goal, the other team gets a chance to kick a field goal. But if you score a touchdown first, you win. Now in the playoffs, they've instituted it to where you get a full possession, regardless of how you score, whether it's a field goal or a touchdown.
Well, the only thing that ends it is if you get the ball first. So we'll just go 49ers and Chiefs. 49ers got the ball first. Had the 49ers turned it over and the Chiefs scored, game would have been over.
Oh, yeah. Or safety.
Yeah. So safety. A defensive score ends the game regardless.
Yes. Yes. Now, remember, the one I cannot – it was the Green Bay Packers and the Seahawks. And I want to say this was in like 2007, 2008. It was when Matt Hasselbeck was the quarterback. And it was in overtime. And they win the – Seahawks win the coin toss. And Hasselbeck says, we want the ball and we're going to win. The very first throw, he throws it straight to cornerback McKenzie. I can't remember his first name, but his last name was McKenzie. And he literally – and just ran it all the way back for a score. And I was like, that's bad karma right there, you know. But, no, you know.
That was a straight fact. What are you talking about?
Hey, man, yep. he messed him up bad. He did. He didn't make any more crazy guarantees after that. I don't believe he did. But yeah, overall, I mean, where would you guys rank this Super Bowl among all the other Super Bowls that you guys have seen over the years, or all the historical ones?
You know, one of the best. It's not one of the worst ones, but I already knew the outcome.
Yeah,
It's weird that Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce were doing so bad in the first half. Come out second half, and they're clicking again.
Yep.
And yeah, the incident where like Kelce rushed Andy Reid.
Oh my God, that whole thing.
This shit was hilarious.
That was now I will say that people that are calling for Kelce's head over that, you're just overreacting and have never played a competitive sport in your life.
Here's my thing. If I'm Andy Reid, tell him to go fuck himself, because that man won me a lot of money.
You know, I did see that exchange. And then the funny thing is that you see the tweets coming in. AJ Brown of the Philadelphia Eagles said, now had I had done that, oh, they'd have kicked me out of the game.
Well, if you watched any of the post-game stuff, you know, Andy Reid actually said, you know, right after that, and the cameras didn't catch this, but Kelce came over and gave him a hug and said he was sorry.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a fit of the moment, like, you know, hey, we need to fucking do something. Get me the ball.
Right. Well, remember the final passing play for the Kansas City Chiefs right before they kicked the field goal to send it into overtime. Remember, Patrick Mahomes had thrown it to Travis Kelce and Fred Warner had gotten in there. But then they went and they shown like the sky cam footage, I guess, where you see Rashid Rice going right up the middle. Dude, if they need to make Rashid Rice their number one today. Dude's the best wide receiver they got, slot or otherwise. I think he's the best wide receiver they got, other than Travis Kelce, Roger, I know. But he hit the seam and went right up the middle. There was nobody within 10 feet of him. If Patrick Mahomes had seen him, it wouldn't have went in overtime and they would have had the game, I think.
The game shouldn't have been in overtime anyways if Moody wouldn't learn it and fucking make an extra point.
Well, there you – well, there's that. Well, I mean, it was blocked. You can't really help them. I mean, yeah, I mean, if you want to blame anybody, blame the long snapper, because the snap was pretty low and it skeeted on the ground before he had a chance to pick it up. And then, of course, obviously
– he skeeted.
Oh, well. But I mean, even after that play, you see Rashid Rice and Patrick Mahomes even talking on the sidelines. And many people were like, oh, Rashid Rice needs to be quiet. He's a rookie. He's a rookie on a championship winning team. Just because him and his quarterback have a conversation, that's like the whole bullshit with T.O. and Donovan McNabb when they were arguing on the sidelines in one of the games that they had early in Terrell Owens' Philadelphia career. You play on a team with a whole bunch of different people and a whole bunch of different personalities. You're not going to get along with everybody, you know, and there's going to be some conflict. We've seen, I seen video, I think NFL Films put it out maybe a couple of years ago, where old Big Head and Jeff Saturday had an altercation on the sideline. You guys remember that whole thing?
You know, when Saturday changed the coverage on the play on the offensive, what was it? The blocking coverage.
Yeah, he changed the protection scheme because he saw that it was not Tampa not Tampa 2, the other one. The other one where you have two safeties on a it might be cover 2. I don't know. But whatever it was, he seen it and he said he wanted to change it. And he called the audible. And Peyton's like, yo, man, you do your job. And he's like, I am doing my job. I'm trying to protect your ass, you know. And then that whole thing spiraled out. They're friends now, whatever. But, yeah, overall, I thought the Super Bowl was okay. Not the best Super Bowl that I've ever seen. To be honest, I don't even know if I'd put it in the top 10. But I thought it was an okay Super Bowl. I thought it was good.
Chip?
I mean, I pretty much said all I had to say about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, me too.
I thought it was good. Now, if we want to talk about that halftime show, I felt that was a little awkward.
That 13-minute halftime show where only 3 songs actually got played, but there was like snippets of other songs.
There was snippets of other songs, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, this is the most bullshit thing ever. Like, I can't enjoy a fucking song at all.
Right.
Yeah, you get like 3 choruses. You'd get like a 3 words from a song, and then it'd switch to something else.
Right. I mean, at least they played the majority of "Yeah," you know, which was probably the big hit. That would you say that's Usher's biggest hit, popularity wise? Maybe money making wise.
No,
I'm not talking personal.
So.
I'm talking about like.
No, I don't know because Confessions.
Confessions is good. Burn's good.
You got it bad. I mean,
you make me wanna.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that's his biggest. Because I think maybe the second song that they did together, Lovers and Friends, might be more of a commercial success than Yeah.
It's hard to say because, I mean, yeah. Usher makes fucking bankers no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really does, man.
I do find it funny that, you know, he's from Dallas, Texas, but he said he turned the world into the A.
I mean, he was raised in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was born in Dallas. He was raised in Chattanooga. And it wasn't until he decided he wanted to be a singer.
Well, that's because he got discovered by Jermaine and he had to move down to Atlanta.
Yeah. And I mean, he was out of high school at that point because he graduated from Brainerd High School right here in Chattanooga.
Brainerd High?
Yeah.
I thought he graduated from Howard.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I thought he went to the same high school you did, Bubba.
No.
Okay. I thought it was. Okay. Oh, he went. No. He went to high school with a. He went to high school with James. That's right. Never mind.
I don't know.
James Storm?
No, James.
James.
Death Row.
Oh,
didn't he go to high school with Death Row? You told me he did. Did you not?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, I think James was out of high school before Usher went to high school.
He may have been a senior when he was a junior then, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, you got to think, Usher's only 45, and I think James is like, yeah.
Yeah, he started in 90, he started like 92.
Nah, he wasn't that early, was it? I was thinking 93, 95, 96.
I think his first commercial hit 92 in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think so.
But
no, the most famous person that went to my high school was Reggie White.
No, I'm just upset. Christian McCaffrey gets fucked again. Juwan Jennings was the true MVP of the fucking Super Bowl, and they fucked him over.
Juwan Jennings played his ass off, dude. That was such a great game from him, dude. Threw a pass and made a catch.
Second
dude.
Guy in Super Bowl to do that.
Yeah, man.
Behind Big Dick Nick.
Dick Nick. All right, well, that being said, Roger, do you have a... an asshole of the am I the asshole of the week question or story for us?
I don't know if it was an asshole. This is advice, I guess.
Okay, Dr. Phil, here we go.
All right, so we're starting out hot and heavy. This is definitely a juicy, naughty, informational question. So the pretense is, I caught her with Cedric's dick in her mouth.
Wow.
Man, you can't lead it off like that.
That's what it is.
Just straightforward like that. Yep. Just straight like that. All right.
I caught her with her ex Cedric's dick in her mouth.
Mm. Wow.
Cedric ran so fast that he left his phone behind. I lost control and smacked the soul out of her. She leaned her head back and smiled. That's when I knew she was a full-on demon. She says, "You don't own me. I don't belong to you. I'm not yours. This ain't your pussy.
She belongs to the streets." Go ahead.
She said, "I can have him in my mouth whenever I want." I asked her if she was trying to get me to unalive her. She says, "You're not man enough to end me. Please try. I beg you. I'd sacrifice myself just to know that you'll spend your life in jail." She broke my heart. I know there's a restraining order against me, but I drove past her house and saw Cedric's car, and I had a kick in her front door. I walked away from her.
Bro!
Hey, I'm just thinking, let me finish. Let me cook. I walked away from her, and she stabbed me several times in my back with a penknife. I thought she was pinching me. I got medical treatment, and I forgave her. But our relationship is draining me. But our relationship is draining me, and she tried to press charges about the front door. She knew Cedric, or any man, ain't supposed to be there. How to fix us? Advice.
There ain't no fixing this. Bruh, there is no fixing this.
Get in your car and just drive until you run out of gas. And then as soon as you run out of gas, leave the car, start walking, start a new life. Get as far away from this crazy psycho bitch as you can, dude. What the hell? What the... Bro, that's a succubus right there. That's what that is. That's a demon straight from the depths of hell right there.
She was on demon time.
Hey, she was, bro. What in... Oh, my God. That sounds like drugs were involved or some shit. Like some type, I don't know, PCP, bro, methamphetamine, fentanyl, something.
No, love.
White people from West Virginia. That's type
white
shit.
That's definitely white.
The wonderful
shit.
Whites of West. That ain't the wonderful whites of West Virginia.
Yes, it is.
That ain't Jesco and his people.
That sounds more. That sounds more like the rednecks from Rossville. What it sounds
white
like.
White lightning.
Speaking white of that. Hey. Hold on. You know what this sound is?
Boom, Captain Mating call.
That's a West Virginia Mating call right there.
I got more of
for all you meth monkeys out questions. There.
We are canceled in West Virginia now.
I fucked them.
They don't listen to us. They ain't got internet anyway. Maybe in Morgantown, perhaps. But.
All right. So do we want to go to the next advice question?
Oh, sure. Why not? Go ahead.
Hold on. So
apparently this is Love Line. I guess. Go ahead.
The advice for last dude is go find someone else and leave that bitch alone.
I mean,
yeah.
Here's the thing. If you want to live, go find you a normal, sane person. But if you really just feel like dying, stay with her. Stay with her.
Yeah. See what happens.
I want to know how big and strong this dude is that Cedric ran out the house and left his phone. If I'm whamming some girl's mouth and some dude coming in... I'm gonna stay my ground for a second. I'm gonna look homie in the face and be like, "Hey, it is what it is.
Yeah. Don't get mad right. at me. Get mad at yeah. her. She the one creeping. It ain't got nothing to do with me.
Don't
I
hit
don't
the player,
know
hit the game.
There you go. That's exactly. Exactly.
All right. Here goes the next question/advice.
I'm scared.
So this is a girl. And she stay and she states, "I lost my job and I'm staying at a friend's house." So I lost my job.
A little bit more tame, okay.
"I lost my job and I'm staying at a friend's house while I find another place to stay. I've been dealing with my friend's husband for a few months and he made promises to leave her. But now that I'm in their house, he's acting funny. Case in point, I was washing my panties in the kitchen sink. He hit the roof and he says, 'Bitch, why are you washing those nasty drawers over my coffee cup?' And then I responded, 'You've had your face all in my pussy while you acting brand new.'"
Wow.
Hold on.
Time out. I got one question. I got one question on this whole thing. Why is she washing her panties in the sink? They ain't got no wash and dryer?
Hey, I don't... She's... I mean, slumming.
You gotta soak them if they got blood on them, bro.
I don't know. They slow... I mean, they slumming it. I don't know. But, all right. He says... He told me if I ever mentioned that again while his wife was there, he'd kick me out. But I was speaking my truth. Here I am in his house. Here I am in his house, and he's still trying to make me feel like I'm number two. When she's at work, he makes me feel like I'm number one, and I believe him. I'm tired of having hiding our love. What do we do?
What do we do? We speak French in this motherfucker? We?
Bro.
No, it's a you. It's bro. You. It ain't got shit. It's you. Man, y'all go ahead. Y'all answer. I'm going to sit here and ponder for a second.
Okay. So first of all, I need to know why she washing her panties in the sink.
She doesn't give that context.
It's that blood, bro.
I need to know that. Secondly, if her pussy been in dude's mouth, why he worried about her washing her panties over his coffee cup?
Well, maybe it says world's number one dad or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but if you wash the coffee cup, it don't matter.
I mean,
all right. Now, third, she said this to dude in the kitchen while his wife was there, and the wife is still with him?
She probably didn't hear. Maybe she said it like a good conversational tone instead of loud.
Like that's a whole nother, like, and then to further the what do we do? What do we do? No.
Hold on. Let's just finish.
You need to pack your shit and just go on ahead and move out. Because I promise you right now, homeboy is not leaving his wife.
But she has nowhere to go. She has nowhere to go. That's why she's here to begin with. She lost her job. She has nowhere to go.
Find you a new friend. Get. I'm sure you have a phone. Get on the little Tinder app. Swipe right and just hook up with somebody and move in with them. Because you are always going to always be number two to this dude.
No,
is he leaving his wife?
No, he says when his wife is not around that she's number one.
I have a question.
As a guy,
I have questions.
As a guy who is married, if I had a side piece, which I do not and never will.
I'm going to say you might.
I do not and never will. I am very happily married and have been for over 18 years. Okay? So, but if I did, I would make the side piece feel like she was number one. Because you don't want chick? Exactly. You don't want the side chick to just be like, you ain't getting it no more. Like, get that dumb shit out of here.
It's like Patrice O'Neal said, let me do this joke real quick and I'll let you go, Talon. Patrice O'Neal says, when a man cheats, that means he's leaving the comfort of his house to find a little bit of happiness so we don't hurt my wife's feelings because we love her. And I guess that's what dude is doing. He's comforting her and he's making his place of comfort uncomfortable. So he must really love his wife enough to fuck her friend.
Man, we done slid into some red pill space bullshit with this story. I have a question. That ain't the question. I have an idea why, but that's not. Shut up. Let me ask a question. Whose idea was it for this woman to come into the home? Was it the man's or the woman's?
Obviously, it was his, but he probably worded it in a way that made the friend think it was her idea.
So, should that not have been a little bit of a red flag to the wife? Like, I don't really know who she... Do they know each other?
Yeah, the wife is her wife's best friend.
Oh, well, then that should tell you right there. It's some fuckery.
But no, the thing is, he probably was like... I don't know. I think it'd be kind of weird to have her live here. Do you think it'd be weird for her to live here? I mean, I know she ain't got a job and nowhere to go. I mean, she's your friend. You really want to break that friendship up kind of thing. You know, the Inception thing where you plant the idea in the mind and just.
God. Yeah. I mean, you've heard it said before, some guy, with some dudes are only as faithful as their options.
Hey,
I mean,
as a scallywag king, I know how my young men out there are in the kingdom. Sometimes you can't, you know, help it.
You go, kings.
You know what they, you know what it says. The sweeter, the sweetest part of the honey is deeper in the hive. You know what I'm saying? You got to go in there and taste it all.
Mm. You ought to write a book.
On how to be a scallywag, I sure can.
How to be a scallywag. Well, Scallywag Martinez, don't use your real name. They'll come for you.
That is his real name. You know what I'm saying? That's my real name.
No, you don't use Roger Sierra. You literally use Scallywag Martinez and then put the whole thing. What would the title of the book be, Roger? What would you name it?
How to be a scallywag by Scallywag Martinez.
That's too simple. That's too simple. It's got to be something more catchier than that.
Running the streets the scally way.
No.
What would you name the book, Talon?
That's why I'm thinking. Shut up. We'll figure it out. We'll get it going. We'll get the memoirs.
We should make this a comic book, actually.
A comic book, Scallywag Martinez.
Yeah, that's the hood superhero.
Oh my god.
All right, let me.
Scallywag Martinez and the Hoodlums of Harlem. Why not? Do we
want some more?
We call it Tales of the Scallywag. Tales of the Scallywag memoir.
Yes.
A mischievous memoir.
There you go. And then when the anime comes out, we'll have Chris Calico do the intro. It'd be great.
Are y'all ready for this?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
I thought that my boyfriend and I reached that coveted spot in our relationship where I could drop by after work and spend a night.
Okay.
Pretty tame by comparison.
So I thought that my boyfriend and I reached that coveted spot in our relationship where I could drop off after work, spend the night without calling first. Last month, I dropped by, we made love, and I went to sleep. Well, I couldn't really sleep, so I rolled over to get my phone off the nightstand, but my phone fell on the floor, and it slid under the bed. I felt around for it until a bloated hand reached up from under the bed and gave it to me.
A bloated hand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was my boyfriend's alcoholic ex hiding under the bed. What? Insults flew.
Wow. Oh, no. I love that they're doing alcoholic ex. Like, not just her ex, her alcoholic ex. There's drunk bitches under the bed again, probably slipping on that henny.
Finish. She's probably bloated. But,
Finish.
Insults flew. My boyfriend pretended to be asleep until I meant her. My boyfriend pretended to be asleep until I mentioned yanking his dick off to wake him up. Oh, God.
Ouch.
That's that brand new Lorena Bobbitt.
Just yank it off. He admitted that he banged his ex right before I arrived, and she was trying to sneak out, but I was in the wrong because it's his house, and I should have phoned first. His ex added that she still had a key. I've invested 2.5 years in the relationship, and I feel that I'm this close to marriage. Walk away or hang on? Advice.
Okay. First of all, these people need to use some common sense.
Nah, man.
Common sense ain't that common. It's 2024 or whatever year this was when they wrote.
I think this was 2023.
Common sense ain't that common.
Okay, so my first question, she kind of answered. I was going to say, how long has this bitch been under the bed?
Right. So here's the thing. He banged the ex right before a homegirl showed up. So this man went 2 rounds. But not only did he go 2 rounds, he went to the second round with a girl underneath the bed the whole time. So my question is, how long is your stroke game? You ain't gonna be hitting it up on the bed and some person gonna be underneath it getting their back blown out the wrong way while you're going at the back up top the right way.
He is legend.
I blew 2 backs out of the same night.
Oh, bro, he blew 2 backs out at the same time.
Yeah. Right.
The hard way.
Yeah. Okay, so to answer your question, young lady, the answer is you leave because he obviously not finna stop banging the bloated drunk ex.
That still has the key.
That's what I was going to say. If she, especially if she still has a key, and you've already invested two and a half years into this relationship,
but she feels like they're this close to marriage.
No, baby, it's okay. I love you. I was just fucking her. I love you, though. Like, not the same, dude. It's not the same. Now, if he was just talking to her, that's one thing. But I mean, look,
no.
No, I'm not talking about her. I'm not talking about the drunk bitch. I'm talking about, you know, if it wasn't like a serious, serious relationship, then like, you know, we fucking around. Okay, fine, whatever. It's your life. Do what you want to do. But if you commit 2.5 years to somebody and you still got a drunk side piece on this, leave, dude. Save yourself and your sanity.
You gentlemen ready for the next one?
Oh God, there's more.
Man, I don't know if I can take more.
Oh, you guys got it. There's a couple more. Let me see. 1, 2, 3. Just 3 more.
All right. Well, before he gets to the next one, thank you all who subscribed this past weekend. Thank you guys. This is the first episode that you see. I am so sorry.
They're gonna love it.
I hope they do.
They'll love it more.
I hope so.
But shit, let me pull it back up. All right, here's the time reference. In April 2022, 4 weeks before my wedding day, my fiance left me.
Aww.
All right, so here we go. In April 2022, 4 weeks before my wedding day, my future mother-in-law sent a text. I don't know if these are real names or not, but I'm gonna say I'm gonna just use a fake name just in case. It says April. James moved away. I respect how much you love my son, but please forgive him and give him space. My family consoled me. That doesn't make sense. My family counseled me, I think that's what they were supposed to say, counseled me that I must respect his choice to leave. I was not okay. I lost so much money on the canceled wedding. I struggled to survive a breakup, but James walked away so easily. He was dating again and lived his best life on social media. And in 2023, he got engaged. I was furious and devastated. Last month, his ex-fiance, Rachel, reached out to me on Facebook. James dumped her too. I was in shock. Apparently, this is a game that James and his mother play. Love bomb a woman, propose, and then leave weeks before wedding. Is there anything we can do to stop them? We've suffered major emotional damage and lost about $14,000 in canceled wedding expenses.
Wasn't there a documentary about this?
I don't know. This only happened 2 years ago, so I don't know how fast that documentary would have been made.
No, there was one. It was a guy. It was a guy from Tinder. He would
get all these. Good. That's different.
Yeah, I know it's different. This sounds similar.
I mean, he probably ain't the first guy to do it. He's just the first famous guy to get away with it.
Yeah, I guess.
Oof. Is there anything you can do about it?
Fuck beheading. Him up. A beheading.
Find him and fuck him up.
A beheading.
Yeah, that. I'm not sure there's anything you can do about it. Yeah, I mean, you might be able to sue. I'm not 100% positive.
I mean, yeah. I think there might be legal grounds to it. You know, especially if he's done it more than once. He sounds like a con man. You know,
he's definitely frauding these women. So there is a stance on that, maybe.
Yeah,
it's one of those, like, how far are you willing to take this thing? But man, I don't know.
Either.
Yeah, I mean, you could do the professional thing and just blast him everywhere.
I mean, you can hire somebody to fuck him up.
Yeah, you know, people that got close to people. So why not?
Yeah. But I mean, more than likely you should just cut your losses. And
$14,000 is kinda hard to fall off.
Yeah, I know, yeah. $14,000. He did this more than once, like, yeah. Dude needs some comeuppance, like, in the worst possible way. I still think a beheading should be on the table, but that's me.
Oof. All right.
You got the next one, Bubba?
Yeah, you guys are going to love this one.
Oh, of course we are. Go ahead.
Husband said I was born in bed. That's why he spent money at the strip club.
Okay, husband, continue.
Husband says that I am born in bed, and that's why he spends money in the strip club. He met me in a strip club. Okay.
There's your problem.
Yeah.
I brought a dancer home, put my mouth on her in front of him just to add spice to our marriage. He couldn't perform with the two of us in bed. He just wanted her. A few days later, I broke out with fever blisters on my face and pink eye. Husband pulled away from me. He said I was punished for disrespecting our marital bed with the stripper.
And, what?
And now he's back in the strip club. I don't want to lose my husband to another woman. I stole him away from his first wife. I heard his love and my wife's status, but I feel like that's slipping away. What to do?
This sounds like karma. Like, it's exactly what it sounds like to me. What the hell, bro? Chip looks so flabbergasted right now, it ain't even funny. Chip, your thoughts? Do you have any at the moment?
He's trying to figure out what to put there.
All right, so first of all, you say you put your mouth on this other stripper. I'm assuming you mean you went down on her.
He ate the cat.
No, she ate the cat.
Apparently, the cat had mange if you had pink eye and fever blisters after the fact.
Hold on. My question is, was you eating it from the back and she farted in your face and that's how you got pink eye?
Ugh.
She was eating the groceries too, probably.
Uh-uh. All right.
She's over there tongue punching her fart box.
Yeah.
Going down the old.
You never heard that before, Chip?
Yes, I've heard it, but it was when he said it, you were like,
You know what they say? Country roads take me home.
No.
To a place I've been before.
Oh.
West Virginia.
All right. Then you said homeboy couldn't perform with both of y'all.
He just kept beating her, the other girl's meat up.
Yeah, he was.
See, there's a problem. Because I ain't never in the history of my life, unless homeboy was not into females, known of a dude who had two chicks in his bed and could not perform. I've never in the history of my life heard that.
Everybody knows that you do the sandwich method. You stack them on top of each other and you put the meat in between the buns.
Exactly.
Or you get in the back seat of the car and you got one. Sorry, go ahead.
Nah, I mean, or you could do the benchmark where you put one here, and you just go at it with your face and then try to not blow your own back out with your hip thrusting.
They do the Eiffel Tower, the pyramid, you know what I'm saying?
But then she proceeds to say, I don't want to lose my husband to somebody else. I already stole him from his first wife. So
and she earned wife status. She earned that wife status.
No.
She earned that wife status.
Okay. Okay.
She all stole him fair and square.
No.
At the strip club where they met.
Yes.
At this point, I feel like you're just trolling this whole conversation, Roger.
Now, just repeating the story.
That's what she said in the story. She earned wife status.
And that they also met at the strip club.
And they met it. And they met at the strip club. Nope. So,
where he still frequents.
Sweetheart, this sounds like a you problem, and not an anybody else problem.
No,
there is this lovely lady named Karma, and it seems like she came back around and said, "Ha ha, I gotcha."
Yep.
Because what you did to the first wife is now happening to you.
Yep.
I wonder if he's Nigerian, because this sounds like some Nigerian shit to me.
God damn it.
You say that, but I'm daily asking Nigerian. They'd be like, yeah, that sounds like one of our dads or uncles.
Oh, Lord.
Oh.
All right, so hold on. I think there's one more story left. One or two, let me see.
I don't know if I can do another one, bro.
Yep, just one more story. One more story.
All right, go ahead.
My roommate has one clean corner of the apartment.
Okay, it's a weird title. Go ahead.
So okay. My roommate, I'm going to use a fake name here. My roommate, Sarah, has one clean corner of the apartment and spotless. The drapes are steamed, carpet is clean, books that she never read are stacked neatly next to sex toys. Is all for her OnlyFans. Just off cameras are rat traps and used heroin needles. I clean when I can, but she invites tricks home. I filmed their sex scenes for her OnlyFans. And they mess up the apartment again and again and again. The health department has sent several notices to our home that Sarah refuses to open. I've slept with her a few times out of curiosity, but now I'm scared I might have caught something and passed it on to my girlfriend. Sarah looks pregnant, and there's a good chance that it's mine because I'm the only one she lets hit raw. Sarah thinks I love her. I've said this to get some. And she wants to start a family, so abortion is not an option. I don't know what to do at this point. Advice?
Y'all ever see that Trapped in the Closet R. Kelly video? That's exactly what this shit is reminding me of.
Hold on. Time out.
Did it turn out that he was gay?
It turned out everybody had AIDS. Everybody had AIDS in that.
I thought he was gay.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in prison now, so...
No, not R. Kelly.
The husband of the girl that he was messing with.
Oh, yeah. Probably. I don't know.
Oh. Okay.
That's a fucked up whole situation.
Also, don't forget that R. Kelly and Usher was fighting for the same girl back in the day. They even made a song about it.
Yep.
She was probably 14, but...
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to piss on you, pee on you.
It's the remix edition about the song about pissing.
It's the remix to Conviction. He going to work in the kitchen.
Dropping soap every weekend.
All right.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of anything else.
Trying
to gather my thoughts here.
Go ahead.
So you tell me there's one corner that she uses for OnlyFans.
Yeah, she has like a good old clean corner back there. Yeah. Drapes are nice. Bookshelf with fake ass books and sex toys. You know, ambiance.
Yeah, ambiance. Yeah,
ambiance.
And you live there too, right?
No, he just films her sex scenes.
I thought it was his roommate.
Yeah, he said it's his roommate.
Yep.
Okay. But you have a girlfriend.
But he only lives there because he works for filming the OnlyFans, you know.
None of this shit makes sense.
So is he getting paid in heroin? Is he getting paid in pussy? Is he getting paid with money? Like how?
Well, clearly, he's getting paid in pussy because he's been raw dogging this bitch,
and she probably plays on the rent. So,
and now he's got something Ajax can't get rid of. So you know,
well, he thinks he does.
No, he does. There ain't no thinks about it. This guy probably does.
Also, she's pregnant with his kid, one on the way.
Oh yeah,
got one on the way.
He's in my confession. This man I thought I said all I could say. If I'm gonna tell it, then I gotta tell it all.
Maybe this is a song about Usher. Maybe Usher did this poem.
Is this Usher? Yeah.
I'm really bumfuzzled here.
Oh, this is the one that's got you, huh?
Yeah.
Not the stripper girlfriend wife.
Not the stripper girlfriend wife. Not the
No.
The drunk bitch under the bed.
Nope. I'm bum fuzzled. Because, bro, you could just move the fuck out. Yes. Like, bro, you could just move the fuck out. If you worried about the dirty heroin needles and all that.
She's giving out free pussy, though.
But he's got a girlfriend. There's free pussy.
She apparently ain't giving out free pussy, so.
But you want... No. See, this is the thing. She brings dudes home to film OnlyFans sex scenes with.
But right? She does not let them hit Ross.
But it don't matter. It don't matter. That's besides the point. The hitting it raw is besides the point. So what you're telling me is you prefer to go after another dude. Like after dude done hit it, you want to hit it. That's the problem.
Well, maybe she's cleaned out, washed up and everything, and you know, he might be a cuck and you know, he's turned on by it. You know, we don't kink shame here.
Yeah, we don't kink shame here, but at the same time, you got all these dudes that ran through you, and then you want to hit, bro. That's like throwing that's like giving a whale a damn Tic Tac. It's like a hot dog down the hallway. Like that's all.
Here's the thing: we don't know about any decox sizes. So maybe he's the biggest one. He's stretching her out, and it fits like a glove for her. You know what I'm saying? He's hitting all the walls when he goes mining. All right, drilling for oil, and she's spurting.
So then my question
becomes... Pussy better have the Fountain of Youth in it, shit.
Nope. Then my question becomes, she's got her OnlyFans. Obviously, she's making money, mm-hmm. right?
We hope so.
You would think?
We hope so.
Just follow me. Just follow me. And you want to hit that, and you got a kid on the way by that. Why are you stringing this other girl along? Obviously, you don't care shit about her.
That's mm-hmm. probably the girl he nope. loves. And that's why he leaves... That's why he's sneaking around and asking for advice on what to do.
Right, I mean, the way it looks like from the story you told, it looked like she's spending the majority of the money she's making on OnlyFans on that heroin.
Well, is it her heroin or is it?
It might be both of their heroins, or they might be sharing heroin,
or is it the dude she's bringing over?
That being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in tonight, man. We hope you guys enjoyed it. To all of our new listeners, thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed the content.
This was definitely the best one for them to get involved in.
Yes. Thank you for joining us here. Like what we said, we're going to have a lot of great content from ATL Comic-Con coming up on the YouTube channel. We got a lot of videos, man on the street interviews with all these different guests that we had. The pictures should be available on our social media platforms at this point. Like what we said this past week, if you see yourself, tag yourself. Do what you want with the pictures. We don't care. Just make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel and make sure you like all the socials. And again, we thank you guys so much. We love you. And we appreciate you guys. Anything you guys want to say before we bounce out of here?
We give out some of the greatest advice. I mean,
yeah.
Wow. I first and foremost, I want to thank you. I want to say thank you to ATL Comic Convention for having us this weekend. It was a blast. We look forward to 2025 coming down and covering the event for you guys again. Thank you to, you know, everybody that was gracious enough to allow us an interview, whether you were a celebrity or just someone there in cosplay. You don't know how much that actually means to us that you would take the time out of your day to speak with us. It's definitely, it's heartwarming for us. With that being said, please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, and share on Spotify and YouTube.
What about you, Raj? Anything?
Boys, stop trying to be scallywags out there. You ain't built for that life. Go get an STD test.
Yes. Stay safe out there.
And if you tongue punch the fart box... You nasty.
Yes.
If you tongue punch the fart box, you will definitely get pink eye.
Absolutely.
Or you could just be in Boone County and you gotta rattle some pill bottles real quick.
Yeah.
County Mate Call.
Yeah, Boone County Mate Call. That's right. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, also shout out to everybody. Like what Chip said, shout out to everybody at ATL Comic Con. Thank you guys for all the love and support you guys have been giving us. Thank you for all the subs that we've gotten so far. We appreciate it. If you guys want to support Movement Radio and all of our future endeavors, make sure you check us out at streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch and go copy some merch. We got so many compliments on our t-shirts from this past weekend. Everyone was like, oh, that's awesome, Dragon Ball Z inspired Movement Radio shirt, and they love the logo shirts and everyone said that they really liked it. I actually had a couple of people say, yo, where can I get one of them shirts? And I told them streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch. Also, since we were just at ATL Comic-Con and we did see a lot of anime inspired stuff, we got to give a shout out to one of our sponsors, gearanime.com. They've been really good to us, man, and we appreciate all the love and support you guys have been giving us. And if you guys go to gearanime.com/movementradio and you use promo code MOVERADIO, that's MOVERADIO, at checkout, you get free shipping here in the United States. And we're talking shoes, socks, ugly Christmas sweaters, hoodies, jackets from all of your favorite anime shows, everything from Demon Slayer, Naruto, Death Note, Dragon Ball Z, Pokemon, Gundam, Full Metal Alchemist, and the list goes on and on. Again, it is gearanime.com/movementradio, promo code MOVERADIO, MOVERADIO, and you get free shipping in the United States. That being said, once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We hope you enjoyed the show, and until next time, thanks for watching. I'm Talon Williams.
I'm Chip Hazard.
I'm Scallywag Martinez.
There you go. And this is Movement Radio.
God's plan.